When my wife was talking about the children, I suddenly had a memory that one time when I was pastor at Norwich Assembly of God, I got to be Jesus. We would have a replacement of the Halloween party. We replace it with what we call a harvest party or something. And we allowed the children to dress up as long as they would dress up in biblical costumes. That they would represent a Bible character of some sort. Well, that particular year, my children decided that my son would be Lazarus and my two daughters would be Martha and Mary. So the girls dressed up very pretty, and my son hid in the closet downstairs off of the fellowship hall down there, all wrapped up in toilet paper. And I got to be Jesus. And after my girls were sobbing and crying for a while, I proclaimed, "Lazarus, come forth." And Ted burst out of the closet and burst out of the bonds of his toilet paper, and he was alive. Praise the Lord. Coming to church this morning, coming up on the London Turnpike and seeing the church there, you know, we always used to say, people say, "Well, where is your church?" We say, "Well, you know, it's on the New London Turnpike, you know, right there in the middle of the Y." And we would say, "Well, you know, Norwich Assembly of God is a place where decisions are made. You have to go one way or another." Okay. Well, one Easter Sunday, in the Sunday evening service, a man came into our Sunday evening service that Easter Sunday. Some of you may know him. I assume he's still around. I haven't had contact with him for many years. Lee Southworth. Lee was a truck driver, kind of grubby looking that Easter Sunday night when he came in, but he had a Bible with him, and he came in and he told this story. He said, "I was driving truck down through Connecticut. We hit the snowstorm, and I had to go into a motel there on the side of the road because I couldn't go any further. And I was in that motel room and turned on the TV, and the only station I could get was PTL Club." And he remembered his grandmother, that his grandmother had been praying for him. He was in his mid-30s at that time. He had divorced from his wife. He had a child by another woman. He had lived the fast life, the motorcycle kind of fast life. But when he heard that PTL program, the Lord convicted him. He got down by his bedside, and he came to the Lord. And he came to church that Easter Sunday morning, and he said, "Pastor, I want to make a public confession of my faith." And I said, "Well, how did you happen to come here?" He said, "Well, I was kneeling by the bedside in that snowbound motel. I had a vision." He said, "I could see a road, and going down that road, I could see where the road divided, and there was a church right there in the middle of where it divided." He said, "I went out and rode around until I found that place." He said, "Here's where I belong." And he committed himself, of course, to the Lord and became active in ministry years later. Norwich Assembly of God, the place where decisions are made. And you're here because of the effectiveness of the ministry of this church over these years. Praise God for that. Well, we do want to get to the Word, and I want to invite you to open up to Colossians chapter 3, one of the truly great chapters in the Bible. We're not going to do a careful examination of that chapter, but you'll notice in your bulletin there's a little white piece of paper that has the title on it, Discussion Questions. I don't know if anybody remembers, but when we were serving here, we flip-flopped our morning. We did things backwards here at Norwich Assembly of God Church. We would have worship service first, and then we'd have Sunday school afterwards. And the adults, we would have all the adults together, and we would talk about the Word that we had just been preaching and learning about. And so we would develop questions like this. Well, in a subsequent church, the last church I pastored, we did the same thing. And so we would have these kind of discussions afterwards. Well, we're not going to do that today, because by the time I get done here, you're going to be so hungry, you're going to run for the door. But you could take that home with you and use it for an evening around the table discussion and see if you can remember some of the things that we talked about and let the Word of God settle into your heart. As I said, we're not going to look through the whole chapter of Colossians chapter 3, but there is a three-word sentence sermon in this chapter that fits right with the theme of this week, Thanksgiving Week. The words are, "Be ye thankful." They are found in verse 15, but let's pray. O Lord, enlighten our hearts and our minds with the Word of God. Help us to hear clearly what you're saying and how it applies to each of us. Well, Lord, we are so aware that there's no way that anything that any preacher can say that could touch so many different people from so many different places. But your Holy Spirit can do that. And we believe in that. And we believe that your Holy Spirit is at work among us this morning. We open our hearts, our ears, our minds to hear the word of the Lord, that we might be changed thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be ye thankful. Just look at this for a few moments. First, you notice that little word ye, Y-E. You know, we think that that's only language used by the Quakers, the thees and the thous and the yees and the hithers and the dithers and all those kind of things. But this has meaning for it. In the King James, they have held on to this ye word, which is simply the plural of you. Now, what that means is that be ye thankful. It means it applies to every single person here. God is speaking to all of us here today. All of you, y'all, as they would say down south, or yuns, as they would say in western Pennsylvania, you all be thankful. Be ye thankful. Then there's also this little word be. This has meaning here. Normally when we think of Thanksgiving, we think of something we do or say. We give thanks. It is something that we do with our words. We speak our thanks. Or we do something in giving thanks. But here the word is be thankful. So this has a little bit wider application, a little bit wider meaning. It's not just what you say. It's not just what you do, it's who you are. It's your being. Be thankful. Now, to understand this a little bit better, I need to break open this word, thanks, giving thanks. The Greek word is eucharisto. Doesn't mean much to you. But in the middle of that word is the word charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. That is the Bible word for grace. Now, the little E-U that's at the beginning of eucharisto means good. So giving thanks has to do with favor, grace's favor, means good favor. We combine in our language some of these words. We have the word gratitude. We have the word gratuity. You know, that's the tip that you put down when you go to the restaurant because you're thankful for the good service that you received. That's gratuity. And there's also the word grace that's in there. And these in the Bible are all combined together. So that being thankful has to do with being gracious towards everyone, is treating everyone with favor. See, there's the word grace in there. With good favor, we treat everyone. That's the Christian mindset. That's the Christian way. We are gracious people touched by the Holy Spirit. So it has to do with being. Now, let me give you another example of this word be. You know the place in the Bible where it says, you shall be witnesses. You know that verse. Well, there's a difference between doing witnessing and being a witness. Do you get the difference? To do witness, you go and hand out tracts. When you talk to everybody you get talked with about your testimony, you're doing things to help people come to Jesus. And that's a very important thing. We ought to be doing that. But being a witness is the way you live your life in such a way that your relatives, your friends, your co-workers, they see in you Jesus. They see something in you that is of grace, that is of love, that is of peace and joy. And all the fruit of the Spirit come hanging out because you are being a witness. There are some people to whom you will never speak a word. You will never have the opportunity to speak a word. But because you are being a witness, it will begin to prepare them to open their hearts to the Lord. That's the same contrast we're trying to see with the difference between doing thanks or giving thanks, speaking thanks, and being thankful. It's a whole manner of life. So the word is, be ye thankful. It's a call for us to be gracious. If you look at the next chapter, if you have your Bible open there, look at chapter 4, verse 6. He continues the same theme when he says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Okay, there it is again. Seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Grace and gratitude go together. One commentator suggests this to mean that our speech should be courteous and agreeable, not morose or melancholy. Another commentator, William Burkett, says here that his counsel that our speech should be mild and courteous, savory and gracious, wise and discreet. That's the way we are as Christians. So be thankful means more than simply saying thank you. Whenever someone does something good for us, or even when God does something good for us, it has to do with his manner of life. Now, what I want you to notice there in that chapter, that before we get to that little sentence sermon, be ye thankful, there is a description of life before Christ and after Christ. If you were to glance quickly down through the first few verses, particularly verses 5-9, Paul describes who we were before Christ, involved in sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. That's the way we were. That's the before picture. Then going on, verses 12 to 15, the Christian life after Christ comes in involves, look at it there, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, love, and peacefulness. All of these are desirable character qualities that are being developed in us as Christians. Then almost as an afterthought, after he goes through, this is what you looked like before, this is what you look like now because you're a Christian, your life has been radically changed, and then as an afterthought, he says, oh, and by the way, be ye thankful. It's like that one last punchline. After all these other good things we see, oh, but don't forget, Paul says, and this is, it might even be him saying, but this is of a special importance. Be thankful. And then if you were to go a little further in that chapter, if you got your Bible open, look at it. Twice in the next couple of verses, we have it mentioned again. Verse 16 talks about singing with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17 tells us to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Do you see how important this is? Be ye thankful. It's extremely important. So this is very clear. The instruction of God's word is that we be thankful. Now, if it's so clear, and if it's so simple, and if everybody already knows it, why are we even talking about this? Why don't we just go home? We already got the sermon for the day. Be ye thankful. Goodbye. We got it. Thank you very much. Why is it that we fail doing it? Why is it that we don't always live that way? And the reason is, there are some things that get in the way. There are what we're going to call this morning river blocks. Now, let me tell you the story. My daughter Elizabeth, the youngest daughter, we were living at this time in the last church in Hamburg, New Jersey. We learned that there was a little river that ran a little bit behind our house. And we learned that that river went north. And my daughter, she was into geography at the time. She said, Dad, do you realize that that river is called the Wallkill River? That river is one of the few rivers in the world that flows north? She said, it's kind of like in Egypt, the Nile, the river Nile runs north. So we began to call our little river the mighty Wallkill. We likened it to the Nile. And so we decided that we were going to explore the mighty Wallkill River. Well, it's when it, back of our house, it wasn't any wider than this room. I mean, it was no bigger than a little bit of a stream. But we brought our canoe down from our camp, and we went across the highway, and we found a little place where we could put the canoe in. And we had our lunch, and we had a cell phone, because we knew we would end up someplace where we'd have to call to have somebody come and get us. And we put the canoe and started paddling with the current north on the Wallkill River. It was a long and arduous day, because by the time the day was over, we had to pull and carry and wrestle that canoe over 22 logs. Trees that had fallen over that river during the year. One of them, we were trying to get the canoe over, and I slipped and fell. I fell into the water. My watch was torn from my wrist, and the cell phone that we had so safely wrapped in a plastic bag, airtight. We found that it wasn't so airtight. cell phone was ruined. But we were nonplussed. We got back into the canoe after we got over those log after log, and we kept going until we finally, at the end of the day, found a place where we could borrow a telephone and call my wife to come with the car to get us in the canoe. But I want you to have that vision in mind. The river is the pathway that God has chosen for us to be thankful. It's the thankfulness river. But there are many things that get in the way as we go along that river. But I'm going to ask you at the end, are you as determined to overcome those river blocks as my daughter and I were as we canoed up that river? We had the wonderful joy of completing that day. Oh, and I have to tell you just briefly, when we stopped for lunch, we pulled off into a little inlet, and there was a big old tree there, and there had been a flood there a little while ago, and it had washed away some of the dirt from out from underneath the tree, and the roots were there, a huge tree. And we were eating our lunch, and suddenly we heard some kind of a strange sound. It sounded like somebody was like almost barking. It wasn't really a bark, but I can't even reproduce it. And we looked up, and there we discovered a groundhog who was upset because we were invading his territory. Okay? And then my eyes went up the tree, and I realized the reason why he was so upset. Because about halfway up the tree, there was a sign that said, "No trespassing." And so the groundhog was just trying to enforce the rules, you see. But we had wonderful experiences because we were faithful to continue going up the river, even though we had to overcome the obstacles. I'm going to give you 8 obstacles to thankfulness. Maybe one or two of these might hit you, and you might be willing to say, "I'm going to pull my canoe over that log. I'm not going to let that keep me from being thankful as God has asked me to be." The first one is a lack of training. Simply put, I just love it when I hear parents teaching their young children that whenever they receive anything, the parent says, "Now say thank you. Say thank you. Don't forget to say thank you, Nana. Thank you, Papa. Thank you." And they teach their children to be thankful. I remember hearing one man was once asked why he never smoked. And he said, "Well, nobody ever recommended that I do." Well, the same thing goes with Thanksgiving. There are some people that never give thanks because nobody ever recommended that they do. They've never been trained. We have a whole generation of young people that have grown up that have not had adequate parenting. And so don't be so hard on them. They've just never learned. A lack of training sometimes needs to be overcome. We need to say, even though I didn't have the opportunity of good training when I was a child, I'm going to be a child of God now. I'm going to learn how to be a thankful person. Secondly, the roadblock, and this is a huge one, it's pride. Pride gets in the way of thankfulness. Now, pride has a good component. Pride has a good side. When you do a good job, it's okay to stand back and say, "I did good. That was good." And take some sense of satisfaction and pride. But don't ever think you did it all by yourself. Don't be so prideful to think that there weren't others that helped prepare the way or assisted you in various components, or even the strength and the wisdom and the knowledge that you have. Where did you get that? That's not from you. It's a gift of God. So that even when we have a moment of pride, we can be thankful. Don't allow yourself to think that I am the only one responsible. Proud people are never gracious. Unless maybe they do it in order to win points with someone, in order to get something from them. But that's a pretended graciousness and thankfulness. Very closely related to that is number 3, prejudice and discrimination. There are people who have an attitude of condescension. They look down on people. I mentioned before, you know, gratuity. You give a gratuity to the waitress at the restaurant. Well, some people will say, "Oh, she's just doing her job. Why should I be thankful?" Or there are even parents who forget to thank their children for washing the dishes because that's their job. That's their chore. They were assigned that. They're only doing what they're supposed to do. And so sometimes looking down on someone can keep us from being thankful that they are helping us in these ways. Number 4, anger and bitterness. And you know how this works with thankfulness or the lack of thankfulness? When we're so dwelling on previous losses, previous hardships, to the extent that we can no longer appreciate the blessings that God gives to us today. We're so preoccupied, so upset, so angry and bitter because we didn't receive what we thought we should have received in the past. We don't acknowledge the blessings. We don't enjoy and appreciate what God is bringing to us today. Don't let anger and bitterness get in the way of thankfulness. Number five, I've listed here suspicion and fear. This is when we, instead of accepting what is offered as a blessing from the Lord, we may be tempted to find some hidden motive. We're suspicious of the person who is giving us that or is doing that good. We think they have some ulterior motive in mind. Put that aside. Just be thankful for what is given. Sometimes we get a little bit too cynical, we have to be discerning. I understand that. But let's be thankful, regardless of where it comes from. Then there's this number six, what we call the attitude of entitlement. I deserve this. And when we have that attitude, we feel that we are owed something. We deserve special treatment. And consequently, we fail to express appreciation because we were owed it. We were entitled to it. The story is told about a man who was standing by his picture window one day, and he saw a man coming walking down the sidewalk, walking up his sidewalk, and knock at his door. Never seen the man before. Went to the door, opened the door, and the man said, sir, I'm here to give you this envelope. It's from an anonymous friend of yours that wanted you to have this. Gives him the envelope. Says goodbye. Man closes the door. Hastily, he opens up the envelope. $100 bill inside. Whoa, this is wonderful. He's thankful. Look at it, gift from God. Next day, around the same time, noontime the next day, same man walking down the sidewalk, comes up his sidewalk, knocks on his door. He says, sir, there's an anonymous friend of yours that wanted to give you this envelope. Hand it to him, close the door, open it up, $100 bill. That happened for 6 days that week. Every single day, that man walked up that sidewalk, knocked on his door, gave him an envelope with $100 bill. On the seventh day, he was already standing by the window. And he saw the man walk up the street, but when he came to his sidewalk, he passed right by it and went to the next house and was walking up the sidewalk to the house next door. And the man in the first house opened the door and he said, hey, where are you going? You're supposed to be coming over here. You see, he had developed an entitlement attitude. I'm entitled for that. What are you doing blessing him over there? You're supposed to be blessing me. Now, that's a silly little story, but sometimes we can get caught up in thinking that we're owed something and forget it's all a gift of God. And let's be thankful. Then comes this next one that's kind of related, is when we compare ourselves with others. They've received so many blessings and I have so little. And we're comparing ourselves and we're feeling badly and we forget to be thankful for what we have because we're jealously looking at what somebody else has. They've been blessed, but I haven't been blessed. I love that little place where it says in the Bible, we rejoice with those who rejoice. We don't get jealous when somebody else is blessed. We're thankful to God with them. You remember the story that Jesus told about the vineyard workers? You know, some of them came early in the morning. They worked all day. Halfway during the day, some others came and they worked. Kept working, 11th hour. It's an hour before quitting time. Another group comes. And then when the paymaster comes, he gives the same out to everybody. And those guys that had worked all day, they weren't thankful for what they got. They were comparing themselves with the others. We worked all day. They only worked an hour. How come they're getting the same pay as we are? Instead of being thankful, they were comparing themselves. You know the scripture very well. From 2 Corinthians 10:12, we do not dare classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Let's be wise and just be thankful instead of having a comparison mentality with others. The last one, the last roadblock or the last river block, we're calling it, of gratitude is the focusing on material things. We put all our attention on what we have of a material sort. if we neglect the development of our inner qualities, who we are inwardly in those qualities of graciousness that we've talked about, while seeking financial comforts, that gracious attitude of gratitude will not be fostered. So Jesus taught us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Harry Truman was 16 years old. The year was 1899. And in his English literature class, he had to write some responses to some stories that he had read for his class. And in his little composition book, among others, there was this comment. He said, "There are men who love money and do anything for money, even sell their souls." And he said, "But there are men who love money for the good in it, men who like to use it to make others happy." Now, that was a 16-year-old high school senior who had the understanding and the wisdom about money. If all of our focus is on receiving and getting more, the tragedy of that story is his own father had that lust for riches, and he had gained great riches, and then he lost it because of a wrong investment. He saw that played out in his own father's life, and he became to realize it's much more important to use money rather than to receive it. If we're not careful in our materialistic society, where all the attention is on, it's the economy, stupid, we can get caught up in that evaluating of ourselves only based on money and forget to be thankful for all the other things. You watched some of the scenes from this last storm, Sandy, in the New York, New Jersey area. And people who are saying we've lost everything, but it's only things. We still have our family. We still have our friends. They are recognizing, after losing everything, let's not wait until we have to lose everything before we are aware of so many other things that we're thankful for besides the material things that God has blessed us with. That's the lesson for today. Be ye thankful, but recognizing that even though it's so simple and so clear, and it should be so natural for Christians, there are blocks. There are things that get in the way. What might be in the way for you? Is it pride? Is it anger? Is it comparing with other people? Is it the lust after the things of this world? What is it that gets in the way of your fully and openly expressing thankfulness to God today? Would you take care of that? Would you get your canoe over that log and get on up the river? Because God has great things for you, as long as you don't allow those barriers to keep you from having that full expression of thankfulness to Him. Would you pray with me? Well, Lord, touch us again by your Holy Spirit, and again we ask that you would make this happen for each person in this room. An awareness of places where perhaps we have been a little deficient, perhaps we have been a little prideful, perhaps we haven't been caring enough for our inner selves and our own inner qualities, to where we're not the gracious people that you've called us to be. Help us to be willing to see that, and then be willing, O Lord, by your strength, to overcome those difficulties and become fully and completely the person that you've called us to be in Christ Jesus, giving thanks always to the Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Pastor Randy, would you come, please?
Amen.